It's here and now, and we're still waiting to find out if the piece of debris found on an island in the Indian Ocean is from Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, the plane that disappeared last year with 239 people on board. For the last 17 months, there has been an extensive search for the plane and numerous theories about what happened. It was just one of the many unsolved mysteries that captivate our imagination. Paul Aaron is director of publications at the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. He's author of several books about unsolved historical mysteries, and he's with us from Williamsburg, Virginia. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Well, this disappearance of this plane is obviously a huge tragedy for the people on board and their loved ones, but it also has captured the attention of people around the world who want to know every detail about, you know, what we know about where this plane might be. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there's something fascinating about any disappearance, and aviation disappearances seem to be especially intriguing. This is not the first plane to disappear. I mean, probably the most famous disappearance of the 20th century would have been Amelia Earhart, and
right.
People are still trying to figure out what happened to her.
Her plane vanished over the ocean in July of 1937, but we did just find a piece of her plane in 2014, right?
We did just find a piece of her plane. Well, at least there are claims. Rick Gillespie, who is one of the leading, has been for decades searching for the plane, believes, and his group, the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, believes that he has found part of the plane. Not all experts agree. I mean, Gillespie has in the past made a case for having found part of the plane. At one point, he found part of a woman's shoe in a size and style that Earhart wore. And at another point, he found a navigator's bookcase with screw holes that suggested it had been installed in a plane. But there are those who question those finds. Shoes might have gotten there by other means than Earhart's feet, and same for all sorts of flotsam and jetsam. So he is certainly a reputable researcher, but not everyone agrees. It remains an unsolved mystery.
It remains an unsolved mystery I remember being brought up wondering whether her plane vanished because of the Bermuda Triangle. Of course, that's impossible because she disappeared in the Pacific.
It was the Pacific, but
right.
There are all sorts of intriguing stories. I mean, one of the most intriguing theories is that Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, were spies, that the round-the-world trip was actually a cover for taking pictures of Japanese fortifications. And one of the theories about her disappearance is that the Japanese forced Earhart down and took them prisoner or executed them. That actually originated not with a historian, but in a 1943 movie starring Rosalind Russell and Fred McMurray. But I think the consensus among historians remains that whatever happened to her, she probably was not a spy. That was not, at least most of her biographers who knew her best, really point to other reasons she would have had to fly around the world besides to spy on the Japanese. I mean, there were lucrative endorsement possibilities, and she just loved flying.
Well, and you make the point that we often look for a very complicated answers to questions when we are talking about a disappearance, when in fact the answer may be something very simple.
Absolutely, and that's true for a lot of historical mysteries. It's true for a lot of other aviation mysteries. I mean, if you look at some of the other aviation mysteries that still intrigue us, there are those who believe. There's the question of whether FDR knew in advance about the attack on Pearl Harbor, and conspiracy theorists have argued, and some continue to argue, that because he was eager to get us into World War II, because there was such strong isolationist sentiment in the United States that though he knew in advance the attack on Pearl Harbor, he did not notify his commanders in order to have the disaster of Pearl Harbor that would lead America into the war. But there, too, as you point out, there are simpler explanations. I mean, if you are preparing to fight the Japanese, it's a lot easier to fight the Japanese without
letting them attack
Pearl Harbor. Without your flight, without your navy under, you know, sunk. Right. There are simpler explanations. It's not that conspiracy theories are never right, but often they are more convoluted than other explanations.
We're speaking with Paul Aaron, who's the author of several books about unsolved historical mysteries. And Paul, I think we'd have to put Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance on the list of some of the biggest unsolved mysteries.
Yes, if his body was found, that would certainly be headline news. His disappearance was July 30th, 1975. So that was just, 40 years ago yesterday. And people have looked for his body or suspected his body would be found in all sorts of garbage dumps, and most famously under the end zone of the Meadowlands football stadium in New Jersey. But it has never been found. There are numerous conspiracy theories. Castro and Kennedy are all entangled. So the Kennedy assassination and the Hoffa assassination are often linked. One theory goes that the mafia killed JFK to avenge RFK's anti-organized crime efforts, and then the mafia killed Hoffa because he knew about the plot to kill JFK. And there are all sorts of intriguing links. Jack Ruby, who killed Lee Harvey Oswald, was the number two man in a Teamster affiliate run by a friend of Hoffa. But again, the conspiracy theorists, there is logic to them, but there's no hard evidence, and this is another case where there are simpler theories. I mean, the FBI has always maintained that Hoffa was killed by the mob because after Hoffa got out of jail, he was making noises about a comeback. And the mob leaders preferred working with Frank Fitzsimmons, who had replaced him. The mob decided they didn't want Hoffa coming back. They decided to get rid of him. Again, though, it's an unsolved mystery. I mean, the FBI has never been able to get a conviction. There were certainly mob figures who they believed were involved in killing Hoffa. Anthony Provenzano was one. He feuded with Hoffa in jail, but he had airtight alibis.
Well, I want to get to one more unsolved mystery while we have you here, Paul Aaron, that you had brought to our attention, which is in your neck of the woods, in 1587, when English settlers arrived on North Carolina's Roanoke Island, and then they disappeared in 1590. What do people think happened?
That is certainly a classic mystery. They landed on Roanoke Island in July 87. Governor John White, who stayed for the birth of his granddaughter, then sailed back to England for supplies. And when he returned, they were all gone. 90 men, 17 women, 9 children just vanished. So the solutions, I mean, there have been a range of solutions proposed, that they tried to get back to England and were lost at sea. But the problem with that theory is they didn't really have a large enough boat to cross the Atlantic. Another theory was that they were killed by Spaniards. But Spanish documents still show Spanish ships looking for the colony as late as 1600. The consensus among most historians is that they either joined the Indians or were killed by Indians, or perhaps joined and then were later killed by Indians. The Jamestown settlers who arrived in 1607 had all sorts of reports from Indians of people in the area who looked like them, who were white. And the theory that they were, well, one theory goes that they joined the Indians and were killed just before the Jamestown settlers arrived, perhaps by Powhatan, who was the chief and Pocahontas's father, who, as John Smith and the Jamestown settlers arrived, thought, you know, this is too many people, too many white people here. And at that point, though, the Roanoke lost colonists had been living peacefully among them. Powhatan killed them. That's at least one theory that would explain the stories of lost colonists in the area, and also the failure of the Jamestown settlers to find them.
And are there still people that are looking for them?
There are absolutely still people who are looking, and it's not inconceivable that archaeologists may someday find more evidence. I mean, even just earlier this week, archaeologists at Jamestown announced that they had identified the remains of four leaders In one grave, there were some Catholic relics, which indicated that maybe one of the people at the leaders at Jamestown was a Spanish spy. So you make these new discoveries, but then there are new mysteries that they raise, and you know, there are all sorts of revolutionary mysteries from the period right around here, right around Williamsburg. Did Patrick Henry really say, "If this be treason, make the most of it"? Or other, who fired the first shot at Lexington and Concord? Or
right.
What were the, you know, one could go on. Did Betsy Ross design the flag? Did Sally Hemings give birth to children of Jefferson? There's always new evidence. But what I find so exciting about historical mysteries, you have these twists and turns, you have dead ends, you have intellectual challenges, and you get closer and closer to a solution. But there are always new mysteries. That's what makes history fun.
That's Paul Aaron, the director of publications at the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation. He's author of several books about unsolved mysteries. We'd love to hear your unsolved mysteries at our website, hereandnow.org. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.